Amen. After that kind of singing, I don't even know if I need to preach. What do you think? You ready to go home? All right. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Is that true? You sang like it was true. But I truly hope it is true in your life, and for any of you who are out there listening to us this morning, the resurrected King is ready to resurrect you. From the ashes of defeat, from despair, from grief, from defeat, yes. Praise God. Because of Jesus, it's all about Him. I do want to spend some time in prayer this morning before we open the Word. And I ask that you would bow in your hearts with me, please. As we seek you this morning, dear Lord, we praise your name because of your greatness, because of your power, because of your presence with us today, Lord. Lord, we plead with you to open our hearts by your Spirit. Oh, Father, take away the distractions. Lord, take away the veil and the blindness that Satan would like to interject in our lives and keep us from understanding, to keep us from knowing the truth and ultimately from knowing you. Thank you, Lord, for the good news of Roland and Sarah being in Niger. What a blessing to see them. Lord, the power of the resurrected, the resurrection put to use in their lives as they trust you. Thank you for their safe arrival. We do pray for their adjustments to the heat and all the different culture, language. Lord, give them a full recovery from the stomach bug, we pray, and keep them continually to keep them safe and healthy according to your will, Lord. We ask as they go to Maradi tomorrow that you give them safety, but give them anticipation as they look to you, Lord, for the great ministry that you've called them to. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be a part in this great work of building your church throughout the world. Open our hearts and fill us and use us and prepare us to serve you well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a word of caution. Maybe it's a word of encouragement that we're supposed to be done at 11 o'clock. All right. Well, I've got two Sundays in a row. So I guarantee you I will not finish today. Guarantee you. So when the time comes, I'm going to try to finish up on time. But you pray for me, please. And as all of you know, I can get emotional. The reality of this message is in my heart. And I'm going to be showing you some pictures of our friends in Africa because we also see the power of the resurrection in their lives. And I ask you specifically to pray for me this morning that I would clearly be able to communicate to you. It's not going to be without emotion and probably not without tears. But you know, that's all good. I just pray that my emotions will not prevent you from the message that God has for us. So this is Easter, and it's a lot more than Easter eggs and bunnies and good meals and good family time. Well, there's nothing wrong with any of those, but you know what? There's something bigger and something better. Amen? That's why we're here today. the death and the resurrection of Christ is something that's pretty important. In fact, I believe it is the centerpiece of God's eternal plan of redemption for a lost and a sinful world, and we're all part of that. I believe it's central to God's pattern for the entire universe, encompassing all of his creation and including even the events of history and the very details of our personal lives. We'll be going into more detail concerning that theme as we go. I'm reminded from Romans chapter 8, 22 and 23, and you won't see this on the screen, talking about the whole creation that groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, you and I, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that is, the Spirit has given us his presence, which is a guarantee, the first fruits, that there is more to follow. He's given us the first fruits of the Spirit, and even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So there's groaning and there's pain. When Christ was on that cross, there was groaning and there was pain. And there was agony and there was torture, unlike anything that you and I will ever experience. But you know what? Without death, there could be no resurrection. Do you know that God is at work in our world today that is groaning, that is in pain? Is it in turmoil? He is in the process of showing us the principle, the pattern of pain and death before life. Because one day we await the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. When Christ returns, he returns for us. We will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We receive a new body. Because Jesus rose again, we'll have a body like his. Jesus. He will come to reign on the earth, after which the Bible tells us that he will recreate the entire universe in perfection, no longer stained by sin. The power of the resurrection is affecting every detail of our lives and of history. How can we understand? How can we put this all together? Well, it's pretty hard because Isaiah 55 says in verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth," just go out in the night sky sometime and just enjoy the stars and the moon. "As high as those heavens are above you, so are my ways," God says, "higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is woven into the web of our existence, death and resurrection, pain and joy. This is the theme of my message today. But I want you to know that it didn't just come from here. It came from his word. And I've been praying for a long time, and I've been living a few years in walking with the Lord and watching him at work, and I know it's true, but I want you to know that it comes from the Word of God. We see illustrations of resurrection in nature itself, and the Lord reminds us every day. You know, every night it's dark. We can be lonely. You ever been there at nighttime just waiting for the day? Oh, I just wish it was day. Some of us like to sleep, and we do sleep, and praise the Lord for nighttime when we can do that. But you know what? After the darkness, every day, the sun rises. That's a reminder of the resurrection. And can we see any of you grow flowers? Even if you don't, you probably see these around quite a bit after the cold, long, dark, and you probably have other ways to describe winter. But it's over. And then the flowers come up on their own. Just a reminder, after death comes the resurrection. And we see it in new life. And if you ever go to Crazy H Farm, then you'll probably have seen some of these goats. But yeah. And but you know what? The beauty of new life that we see in that goat doesn't come without pain, without waiting, without being in the womb, without the birthing pains that are part of giving life. But yet, we see new life. Reminders of the power of the resurrection, the reality. So we'll be in 1 Peter today. And we have not read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. It's a key passage on resurrection, the living hope that we have because of the resurrection. I'm going to read this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, if you'll follow me as I read. Peter. If any of you know anything about Peter, Peter knew the power of the resurrection in his life, didn't he? Yeah. Peter went through some pretty dark and ugly struggles in his life before he really experienced the power of Christ and the presence of Christ and his resurrection. Peter, so he's writing to us now, later in his life, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Wow. If God could take Peter and use him as an apostle, it gives hope to me and to you. Yes. To the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Yes, that same power of the resurrection, he keeps us every day through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, and often it is needy, is it not? You have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Do you have faith this morning? Then you can be sure the end of your faith, after your faith is purified through the testing, sometimes as if through fire, the end is the salvation of your soul. Wow. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, grace. Grace to see us through those trials. Yes. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Do you see the pattern? Suffering leading to glory. Why should we think it should be any different in our lives than it was in Jesus, who is our master? The servant is not greater than his master. Praise God for the living hope. So the book of 1 Peter begins in verse 1, and this passage reminds us that he's addressing pilgrims. Pilgrim, in this case specifically, referred to the Jewish people who were dispersed throughout these provinces of Asia Minor, present-day Turkey. They were scattered from their homeland throughout all of these provinces. But you know, there's a much larger audience made up of spiritual pilgrims, those who are temporarily passing through this world on their way to another. That's you and I, as believers. Philippians 3, verse 20, Paul reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. God is in the process of working in our lives. He has given us his Spirit to accompany us, to guide us, to help us, and as the guarantee that, yes, we're going to make it through. There's a song that goes like, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Pilgrims. Well, what do you think of when you hear the word pilgrim? Have you, any of you ever been to see the Mayflower? How many have ever been down to Plymouth to see the Mayflower? Yeah, we were just there a few months ago. The pilgrims who came from England on that Mayflower in 1620 were very committed to their search of religious liberty and a new way of life. To obtain that, however, they were willing to suffer many hardships. Well, maybe you think, well, once they get on the Mayflower, they didn't have much choice. Well, you know what? They were still willing. Well, they could have jumped overboard, right? They could have convinced the pilot to turn back. No, but they were willing, and they continued on. And their journey would require much sacrifice. But you know what? The result of those pilgrims coming to Plymouth back in 1620. We have the United States of America. And my friends, they may be pretty bad here, but I still believe firmly that there's no greater nation in the world. And a place where we still have the liberty to meet together and worship and to live out our faith. Just as an idea of some of the hardships they went through, I gathered quite a bit of material, but I'm just reading this one page. The pilgrims faced many hardships during their journey and through the first winter in the New World. First, there was very little space aboard the Mayflower. And if you've You've been there, you can't imagine, I could not imagine how 102 people could live on that thing for 66 days crossing the ocean. And plus, there was like over 20 additional crew members. The areas below the decks were cramped and dark, and passengers had very little personal space. I did a little calculation, and the average space per person was an area of 3 foot by 4 feet. Yeah, that's it. And many of those passengers were seasick, and if you weren't seasick, you probably were going to get seasick. All the passengers needed to use a chamber pot for a bathroom. And if the weather was rough, and it was stormy season, and it was rough, they were not allowed to go up on the deck to dump it out. For 66 days, passengers endured these small, smelly spaces. Additionally, there was very little food and water. So they got there, they did survive the trip, and they got to land, and during the first winter, 45 of those 102 pilgrims perished due to the cold winter and the lack of food. You can call it starvation if you want. There's much sacrifice that those pilgrims endured, but I think it gives us a little idea that we talk, when Peter addressed this to pilgrims, and you and I agree that we are pilgrims, there are some hardships to endure in our journey toward our celestial home. First Peter 1, verse 2 further qualifies who this is written to. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. If you belong to Jesus today, it's because God chose you. It wasn't because you sought him. He sought you, and you are chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. In sanctification of the Spirit, there again we have the presence of the Spirit and his work in our lives. And I just want to read a footnote here from John MacArthur on the word sanctification of the Spirit. To sanctify means to consecrate, to set apart. The objective of election is salvation, which comes to the elect through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit thus makes God's chosen holy by savingly setting them apart from sin and unbelief unto faith and righteousness. Sanctification thus begins with justification, that is, declaring the sinner just before God by graciously imputing Christ's righteousness to him, and continues as a process. Sanctification continues throughout our lives as a process of purification that goes on until glorification when the Christian sees Jesus face to face. That process of purification, my friends, involves trials and the testing of our faith. Yes, it does. But it's part of God's plan. And in the process, we are being conformed into what? Into the image of Christ. Christ suffered before he was raised and glorified. And if we are being transformed into the image of Christ, indeed, we can expect some difficulty. Romans 8:29 says that for whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Brethren reminds us of our connection with Christ. For all of us who truly have trusted Christ as our Savior, and we have felt the sorrow and the grief and the pain of our sin and our rebellion against God, and we have turned from our sin in faith to be servants of Christ. We are united with Christ in his death and his resurrection. We'll be coming back to some verses concerning that in Romans 6. We are called brethren. And we are united with Christ. We are children of God by adoption at the new birth. Philippians 3, verse 20. I'm sorry, that's last page. So, the term firstborn among many brethren is related to the resurrection. Colossians 1:18 is not going to show before you, but talks about Jesus being the firstborn from the dead. Jesus is the first to be raised unto eternal life by resurrection. We too shall be raised at the resurrection of the just at Jesus' return, never to die again. Meanwhile, we are being purified through the testing of our faith. Remember Job? I don't think any of us will ever suffer as Job did, but he was a great example to us. His faith was tested. But in Job 23, verse 10, he says, "But he, that is God, knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold," being purified through testing. Another song comes to my mind by Ron Hamilton that says, "When I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as" what? "As gold." Yeah. The resurrection assures us, and now you can get your notes out and fill in some of those blanks if you have your notes. Anybody need notes that does not have them? We have more copies out here, and one of the ushers will be glad to get them for you. Okay. So the resurrection assures us of a living hope. That's the first thing. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A living hope, my friends. Yes, that means eternal life after this life, right? But I like to also understand that this word living hope means that it's not a dying hope. It's a living hope. It's for us right now where we are, during life, so that we can live our daily lives and to help us to cope with the challenges of daily life. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16, "We do not have a high priest," that is Jesus, "who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Amen. I think pilgrims need his help and his grace. Don't you? Yes? Yeah, anybody still awake out there? Way on that back pew. I see a lot of smiles. That's great. All right, nobody's sleeping now. Hebrews 7:25. "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Who always lives? Jesus always lives. He was raised from the dead to live forever. And he is our intercessor. He's there to help us in this life. Praise God. Praise God. The second thing we see is that because of the resurrection, we have an eternal inheritance. 1 Peter 1, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So yes, we do have an eternal inheritance. Praise God. But you know what? Our living hope is a lot more than just about what happens to us after life. But it's good to know what awaits us in heaven. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's what awaits us in heaven. If we truly belong to Christ, we've been raised, we've died with him, and we are raised together with him, we shall live forever, and this is part of our eternal inheritance. Meanwhile, guess what? We've got tears. We have death that we need to deal with. As a matter of fact, one of my colleagues that I worked with in Africa is still in Africa, he and his wife, still alive and well. His older brother, Bob, his parents were missionaries, and he was actually, raised in Timbuktu. It was his brother Rich that was born there, actually. But then later in life, after he came to the States, he got married, he went back to Africa, he started a business of raising crocodiles and selling their hides. And some of you may remember some of my pictures, especially those that I gave presentations about animals, of the crocodiles in the bathtub. Yeah, those were in Bob's house in Africa. Had a massive heart attack this past week, and he's gone. So I wished I could have gone. I actually was thinking about it. It was on Friday. It didn't work out, but I watched it online. I watched his service, and these are some of the things we have to endure. I watched his grandchildren come to the microphone and tell stories about Papa. Well, you know, that warmed this Papa's heart. But I remember one granddaughter, about 10 or 12 years old, she got up to the microphone and she couldn't say a word. And she tried, she had it all written out, but she couldn't say a word. Her mom had to come to her and help her back to the seat. But yes, meanwhile, we do deal with death and sorrow and pain. But point number 3, I'm going to read this quickly and we're going to see some pictures. Praise, there is praise, honor, and glory after the trial. This is praise, honor, and glory, not to us because we're not seeking praise. But this is praise that because of the testing of our faith is accorded to God. 1 Peter 1, and I'm just going to read verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's as far as we're going to go on your notes. Bring them back next week. Okay? Can I remind you that there is no resurrection life without first there being death? Part of that death is dying to self and accepting sometimes painful trials as God's purpose for us. Any of you going through painful trials? Yeah, I see a few hands. You don't need to put your hand up, but we do. I am. Painful trial is God's purpose in us. Remember those villagers in Niger that lost everything in the floods? I showed pictures a few months ago. They lost everything, including houses, belongings, gardens, grain fields. But they accepted it as God's will for them. Could I suggest that for those new believers, and many of those people that lost everything were new believers because of the Bible studies that we started in that village? Could I suggest that those new believers in the community where David is still teaching, that their experience illustrates to us the power of the resurrection? So you saw the flood. Here's David now looking over the rubble. What a massive job, as people began praying and some funds came in to help them rebuild this community school. There were funds to repair the ceiling, which was damaged. Next, and paint, fresh paint. Next, and cleaning of the classroom. Cleaning of the well that we had dug. It was full of silt and dirt and contaminated water. There was grain distributions, and there were gifts of money. Through the gift, especially from a personal friend of ours, we were able to give some money to help them rebuild. And I asked David this past week if he could go to the village and take some pictures. I wanted to see what the update was. So here they are, new houses, new brick walls, construction. Here's a pile of bricks ready to be used. And this last picture is, I think, the climax of the testimony. This is a community, the community leader. It's like the administrative chief in that part of the village. And I know this man. I saw him from time to time, but it was after we left that he actually began attending the Bible studies. I asked David, I said, was he one of the one of the 24 families that received a little bit under the $200 to help them rebuild? He said, yes, he was. And here's this man, he's an older gent, and as evidence that there's something different about this guy, he's letting David take his picture. You don't see too many old men that close up because they have superstitions. They don't want their picture taken. You will steal part of their soul. But here he was taking the picture so you can see him. Not only is he the community administrative leader, he's also what they call the imam, which is the Muslim spiritual leader. And God has used trial and hardship to bring this man to himself. I have not heard of a public decision that he's made, but the fact that he's coming to the Bible studies, the fact that he's letting us take his picture, because David knew that I was going to be showing these to you. It says there's something working in this man's heart. Praise God. That's the power of the resurrection. Do you know this power in your life? I trust that you'll be encouraged, and we'll continue this when I come back next week. But praise God. Praise God for the living hope to help us through life. Amen.